series on the blessing because I believe God wants to bless us. And a lot of us, I am not of the belief that if you just have faith enough that everything you want, God's going to do. But that's not necessarily a blessing. That we have a wrong view of blessing. Sometimes we think of blessing as just me getting what I want. Sometimes that's the worst curse that we can get. There are times in the Bible where God said, you know what? Okay, fine, I'm going to give you what you want. You've been whining about it. You've been complaining about it all this time. And so finally, I'm going to give you what you want. And it was not a blessing. It ended up being something that brought worse situations. And many times in our life, we do the same thing. But God wants to bless us. In fact, he tells us in Jeremiah, he says, you need to understand that my heart is to bless you and not to curse you. I want to bring that blessing in. And last week, we looked at the blessing of the birthright. We looked at Esau and Jacob, how Esau despised the birthright. He did not value the things of God because they were not readily visible. The blessing of God is sometimes not something that happens right now, but it's something you invest in and then you receive it later. Well, Esau didn't want, he was all now, I want now. And Jacob realized that there was a blessing to be had in the birthright, what Jesus was going to be. And so we looked at the blessing of God was being part of the plan of God. That the blessing that Jacob saw is that I wanted to be in the line of the Messiah coming to the world. The birthright was the promises that God had given Abraham. Jacob wanted to receive those same promises. Jacob wanted to say that through me, God's going to do great things. And so there was a blessing in just being used by God. But we had to change our perspective. We looked at that last week. Well, today I want to look at another blessing because God wants to see us experience life with greater power. It doesn't mean that we're going to experience life compared to other people like where it's always going to be better, but no matter what life brings, he wants us to walk through it victoriously. He doesn't want the trials of life to destroy us. He doesn't want the things of life, even though they're going to come, the storms are going to come, but he doesn't want them to blow us off. We know the great story that Jesus said, if people will hear my words and do them, he'll be like the man who built a house on the rock. Now, the focus wasn't just on having a house on the rock, but he said, because when the storms come and the wind beats on it and the rain beats on it, it says that in the end, the house stood. But the foolish man, he also had a house. He had a great house, but it was built on the sand. And when the storms came, great was its fall. It says in Ephesians, this is a promise of God, that it says that God created the church for this reason. He said he gave pastors and he gave apostles and he gave prophets and he gave teachers. And he brought us together as a body, and this is what it says in verse 14, so that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. How many know that we get deceived real easily? All of us, we are easily deceived. Even the wisest person, the people that think that they are so smart are easily deceived. And the greatest source of deception is right here in us. It says our heart is such a deceitful part of who we are. Because we get deceived by our own desires. We get deceived and it tosses us to and fro. And life becomes an up and a down and it becomes something that leaves us empty and frustrated. But God says, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be tossed to and fro. I don't want you to fall into the deception of wanting these things that are only going to leave you with a bitter taste in your mouth. I want you to be established. And so today we're going to look at this Psalm 92, which is the promise of the blessing that we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bibles, and it'll be up on the screen here, we're going to look at Psalm 92, starting in verse 1. And then our main text verse will be the last three at the very end of this psalm. It says, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. Now, I love this part. The stupid man cannot know them. The fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout, mine's jumping all over here, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all the evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my assailants. Now here we go. The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So when we look at this psalm, this not only was it an exclamation of who God was, but it was a revelation of what God wants to do in us. And so the blessing that we are looking at today is that we are the planting of God. We are the trees that God has planted, that we are called to be, like it said, a living olive tree, a great cedar of Lebanon, a flourishing palm tree. We are to be like the trees of God that are planted, that are rooted, that no matter what comes, we can stand tall. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hard times. It doesn't mean that wintertime is not going to come, and it may be times of hibernation where it seems like the leaves fall off and everything is dead. But yet, even during those times, God is working. There is sap flowing. There is life in the tree until that season comes again, and God brings new sprouts. So when we look at this, if we are the planting of God, if we are called to experience the blessing of being planted by God, what is the blessing? When we ask this question, what do we get from being planted in the soil of God? What does that mean for us that we flourish in as the trees of God? Well, there's three things as we read through that psalm. We see, first of all, there is assurance and stability. God wants us to understand that life is hard, but you can be assured and have stability in the midst of the storm. That's a blessing. Because see, the rest of the world, they experience the same problems, but they don't have any hope. God wants you to know that even though the storms come, you can have strength in being rooted in God. You see, when we are rooted in Christ, we can have assurance that this world is not just going to sweep us away. That's the difference between being a tree and being seaweed. Now, both have roots. We talked about this a little bit this morning. But God wants us to be like a tree, and not just like any tree, but a tree that has deep roots. Seaweed also has roots. But as you know, it is still washed to and fro, and it's easily tore up, and you end up seeing it wash up on the beach. Well, God wants us not to be like seaweed, not to be like those plants that just have shallow roots, but he wants us to be like a mighty tree, like a cedar of Lebanon, that we are not going to be washed up on the shores of this world, but that we have the assurance and the stability to make it through the storms of life. So, because I'm going to tell you, there are going to be storms, and there's going to be seasons. But that's the blessing of being planted in God. The other blessing is that there is a perseverance and a strength that comes from God. You don't have to do it on your own. In fact, you cannot do it on your own. That God is going to give you the perseverance to make it through something that you think you cannot make it through. There are times in life where you want to give up, where this is too hard for me. And yet, I want to tell you that if you will trust in God, here's a blessing. That you can make it through something that you didn't think you can make it through. And I know halfway through some of the things that we have to go through, you may start questioning God. But if we hold on, and there's the if we will hold on, God will give us strength. God will strengthen you beyond what you think you can do. If you are planted in God, if you are connected to God, there is a strength that God can give us that those of the world do not have. And that is the blessing that God wants to give you. And then finally, there is a time of fruit. If we are planted in God, I'm telling you, God has fruit for you. There is fruit. Now, the fruit of God is sweeter than the fruit of the world. But here's the problem. So many times we long for the fruit of the world instead of longing for the fruit of God. And because of that, we do not receive a great harvest. We receive pitiful harvest that does not satisfy us, that does not leave us full, but we are quickly empty. God wants you to know that there is a promise that we look forward to. Like we talked to the kids this week, you know, it's great to know that Jesus is in the past. It's great to know that Jesus is here. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest knowledge is that Jesus has a future for you. In fact, if we served only God for what he could do for me now, then we should be pitied. It says that our great hope is that God has an inheritance waiting for us. There is a harvest waiting for you. There is a reward that God wants to give you that I'm telling you is greater than the riches that you can get in this world. We need to stop reaching for the things of this world. Yes, they're great. And yes, I love to experience all the riches of this world. But like Jesus said, in the end, when that fades away, what are you left with? Are you going to be left with the fruit of God, which will last for eternity? And I want to encourage you with that. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now, and it doesn't seem like you are experiencing any fruit. I'm going to tell you, keep your eyes up. In fact, that's why the Bible says, lift your eyes up. Stop looking down at where you're at now, and begin to understand that God has a promise. And I know when it's dark, and when it's stormy, it's hard to see that. But you need to let the Spirit of God whisper in you and begin to root you in the promise of God that one of these days, he's going to wipe away every tear. There's going to be no more sorrow. All the things that have let you down, the disappointments, God is going to replace with joy. You've got to trust him. You've got to trust him. This is the blessing of being planted in God. One of the great things that harvest brings, and we're going to talk about this at the end, is that God is going to make things right. This life is not fair. And many people use that as a reason to not believe in God. How can there be a God when I look at life and it's not fair? Well, the problem is God is not completely defined in the present. We cannot use our present circumstance to define God because God is bigger than that. This is only one step along the path. The problem with that argument is that they do not see that God is working along the process of life to make everything right. If it was just now, you would be absolutely right. How can there be a God? But there is not just now. God is working, and there is a process that started from the beginning to when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead to begin to restore this world. Now, this world is not restored yet, but he has not given up. He is still working. We need to see that there is coming a day when he is going to make everything right. So you may look at those around you, and as the psalmist said, it said, the evildoers seem to flourish. It seems that people that are not following God, they don't have as many problems as me. It seems that way. But it says, don't fall into that deception. Because there's coming a day where they will pay. There will be an answering to those things that they sowed. And they will reap the reward of that. We need to not fall into the deception of now. We need to see the whole process. We need to see the whole picture. There's coming a day when if we will trust God, we will receive a reward. And those that did not trust God, they will also receive the wrath of God, which we do not want to have any part in. So there is a harvest that God is going to bring that is just and right. There's three things that I want to focus on those last verses that we read in Psalm 92. When he talked about the righteous person is like a flourishing palm tree, the righteous person is like a cedar of Lebanon. How do we become that way? How do we become the blessed people of God? Here's the first way. It said, if you remember we read this, Psalm 92:13, it says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. The first principle today, if you want to receive the blessing of the planting, you need to understand that you've got to be planted in God. If we're going to receive the assurance, if we're going to receive perseverance, if we're going to receive the fruit and the harvest, the first question is, are you planted in God? You've got to be planted in God. It doesn't mean that you just believe. It doesn't mean that we just say, okay, I believe that Jesus is who he says. You need to begin to plant yourself and root yourself in who he is. We've been talking about this over and over in Sunday school each morning, that God cannot just be your Savior, but he must be your Lord. It is easy to say, okay, God, I believe you for salvation, and most of that's because we just don't want to go to hell. But real salvation means that I make you Lord. God, I'm going to plant myself. I'm going to plant myself in the Lord. I am going to begin to root myself in the things of God. That means I am planted in the Word of God. That means I am going to spend time, not just cursory, but I need to understand that this is the soil in which I'm going to grow. I need to plant myself in the house of God. This is not someplace we just visit. We just have cursory acquaintances. The many of us, we struggle because we are not planted in the house of God. I'm going to plant myself in the presence of God. That means that as I go through my daily walk. That means going to work, going to school, going through my daily routine. Are you practicing the presence of God? Are you inviting the presence of God through prayer, through a meditation on the Word, on what you speak and what you think about? Are we planted in God? See, too many times we plant ourselves in the world. Most of us, I'm telling you, even as Christians, myself included, we are mostly planted in the world. We sometimes will not admit it, and that's the deception. The sad thing is to see people that come to church and they proclaim Jesus, and yet I can see in their life what they're planted in. You can see what you're planted in by where your values are, by where your love is, by where your heart is. And if we plant ourselves in the world, I'm going to tell you, then the fruit and what we receive and what we are is going to be in what we're planted in. Those that grow coffee, those that grow grapes and vineyards for wine, know that what you're planted in makes all the difference of what comes out. If you talk to people who really get into that, if you talk to my son and everything about coffee. Now, I've grown to like coffee, and like a lot of us, I think we like creamer more than we like coffee. The coffee is just kind of like the vehicle to get the creamer to me. But those that really, really enjoy coffee, they can tell the difference. And they say this all the time. And maybe Aaron's a little bit better than me. But I've gotten to where I can notice it, that I'll drink even just some black coffee. And you'll drink one and you can taste the difference. That one does have, they have all different descriptions of them. I don't know if they meet those descriptions. Like they'll say chocolatey. It doesn't necessarily taste chocolatey to me, but I understand what they're saying. And some taste, you know, berries, and some have a taste. And the more you taste it, you can tell the difference. And where does that come from? That comes from what it is planted in. It gives it that different flavor. And I'm going to tell you, we are the same way. Your life is going to have a flavor. Your life is going to have a direction, depending on what you are planted in. And God is going to be the one that tastes us at the end and makes a determination of what we were. But it's going to be based on what we chose to plant ourselves in. Many of us, if we plant ourselves in the world, we cannot be surprised when it seems like God has let us out. We blame God so many times. God, you have not come through. You are not giving me stability, and you're not giving me assurance. And yet he's saying, well, what are you planted in? Well, I can't do that if you're planted in the world. We need to be planted in God. It says that the blessings of God are those that are planted in God. Look at this. Another great psalm talks about being the trees of God is Psalm 1. Let's look at it real quick. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man, now listen to this, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. In other words, see, he doesn't care about the things of the world, but he delights in the Lord. Even if that means he might have to miss the ball game, he might have to miss these things, but he delights himself. Here's the question: how much do you really love God? We say it, but do you really love God? We say we love God, but it's not something that has really made it to our heart. It gets out of our mouth, but I don't think it ever goes any farther. Do you really love God? When we begin to delight ourselves in God, it's going to make a difference. It says that when we do that, when we delight in the Lord, again, it says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And that word prosper is not a materialistic prospering. It is a prospering of the soul. That in the midst of every season of life, there is a confidence, there is an assurance, there is a purpose that he knows, and he is doing what he is created to do. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I want to encourage you, God knows the way of the righteous. Maybe you say, it's not fair. I'm not getting what other people. Don't worry, God knows your way. If you are trusting God, God will honor that commitment, that sacrifice. But that sacrifice must come from a delight in the Lord. Is God more delightful to you than the rest of the world? Doesn't mean we don't enjoy the world, because God came to give us, but it all comes from the direction that we're coming at. Are we enjoying the world because God has given it to us and we put God first? Or are we grabbing everything that we want from the world and then trying to include God with us? It's a very subtle but different focus. So are you planted in God? Are you planted in God? Or you just got a little branch hanging in the river of God, but I'm planted over here on the bank. We need to really take inventory, guys, because many of us, we're playing the game, and you can't play the game. It's like having the house, but it's built on sand. One of these days, it's going to fall. The second thing it said in Psalm 92, it said, not only are they planted in God, it says that they still bear fruit in old age. And I love this. They are full of sap and green. We need to understand that if we are going to receive the blessing of the planting, we've got to be nourished by God. Not only are we planted in God, but we need to find our nourishment in God. Are you full of sap? Now, some of us, we're full of something, but it's not the sap of God. It says that the one who loves God is planted by the water of God. In other words, I seek the water that God gives me. When we seek the refreshing nourishment of God's river, rather than the salty, briny watering of the wells of this world, that they may water us and they may keep us going for a while, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to bring a sick, weak plant. Whereas God wants us to find nourishment in Him. In other words, are you being watered through the Word of God? Not only am I planting myself, but I'm planting myself there because it feeds me. Do I come and come together with the body of Christ? Not simply because, the great preaching or this, but I want to be nourished by the presence of God. Do you find strength and source of your purpose in what God has to offer? See, many of us, we put up with church. We put up with God because, you know what, it's boring and I really don't understand it, because we don't really give ourselves to it. We don't begin to pray, God, open my heart to receive what you have. See, it takes intentionality. We need to determine in our heart that I am going to receive from God in everything that I do. God, I want to see you in this. I'm going to seek you. It depends on what you are seeking. When we seek the nourishment of God, when I want to find my strength in God, that's when the blessings flow. Otherwise, here's the problem. Most of us, we find our fulfillment in what we decide. You know what? If I don't have this, I just feel I'm not fulfilled. God, if you don't answer this prayer, then I can't believe that you're a good God. As soon as you put those limitations on God, you have started to put your roots towards the water of the world. We need to come and say, God, I will accept whatever you give me, because the sap that flows through me is going to keep me strong during the winter time. If I don't have the sap of God flowing through me, that's when we begin to become brittle. We begin to lose strength in the hard times, in the dry times. You need to be nourished by God. Is He more important to you than those definitions of how you define happiness? Well, I'm not happy if this doesn't happen. When you understand, that's not happiness. That is just temporary excitement. But true happiness, joy, is something that comes from within when God shows us who we are in Him. Not who we are by basing on what we see or what the world says, but God, you're going to tell me who I am, and that As I release those things and I trust in God, He begins to nourish us. And I'm going to tell you, I can't explain it to someone who doesn't experience it. Because it's only as God begins to flow through you that you begin to realize there is greater things than this world. It's a thing of the Spirit. In fact, it says those that do not allow the Spirit to flow in you cannot understand these things. It's only when we surrender and let God begin to move in us that we begin to receive the blessings. Look what Jeremiah says in chapter 17. He says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." When you want things of this world just more than you want God, and you get mad at God when it doesn't work that way, it says, cursed is that person. He is like a shrub in the desert. See, not a tree, but a shrub in the desert. And he shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, who is nourished by God, who seeks the Spirit of God to find his strength and to find his purpose and his joy. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. Notice, the heat's going to come, for its leaves will remain green. And he's not anxious in the year of drought. Drought's going to come. You're not going to get everything you want. But you don't have to be fearful or anxious, because you will not cease to bear fruit. The trees of the Lord, here we are again, are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. Are we willing to be nourished by God? Now notice the two things he talked about, both the water and the sap. We need to begin to let God speak into us, but we also need to let God flow through us. You see, we take in the water, we take in the Word of God, we take in fellowship with one another, but you've got to start to live out the presence of God. You need to let the sap begin to become part of you. See, it's one thing to be nourished by God, but it's another thing to let the nourishment be part of you. You've got to become what God speaks into you. You've got to put it into action. You've got to begin to walk out the things of the Lord. See, many times we come to church and we just want to feed. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. Make me feel good. Make me feel good. That's the water. But then we've got to go and walk it out. We've got to go work it out. And then that's what starts the sap to flow. When you begin to make the sacrifice, choose to stop doing those things and begin to follow what God would want you to do, we find nourishment. Last thing. Psalm 92 says that this tree is nourished, it's planted to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The only way that you're going to receive the true blessing of God is when you live for one purpose, to the honor of God. You need to understand that you are not planted to get what you want. You were planted for one reason, to glorify God. When you begin to realize that, when you begin to say, God, I want to be a tree of the Lord, not because I want the nourishment, not because I want the blessing, I want the fruit. When you truly deny yourself and say, God, plant me where you want to plant me. Feed me the way you want to feed me so that you are glorified. I want the rest of the world to see my life and glorify God because of it. Not see me and glorify me or lift me up or I want to get all the things that I want to get. God, you be glorified in me. When that becomes your purpose, I'm going to tell you, God is going to start to flow in your life. We need to understand that the whole blessing of God is so that God is glorified. His blessing that we're talking about this whole series is not about us. It's not about us living the good life. The blessing of God is that God is lifted up, that Jesus is glorified, that the world sees this message. Now, sometimes that means that the world will see you and will hate you. Because Jesus said, the world hated me, it may hate you. But to the glory of God, we are still a reflection of what God does in us. And when we begin to live to the glory of God, I'm telling you, more blessings flow. This is the thing that we just cannot understand. The more we humble ourselves, the more we lower ourselves, the more we are lifted up. And the world cannot understand that. Even us, we fight against that. But the more we will surrender to God, I'm telling you, you will be happier. You will find greater fulfillment. We are more frustrated as Christians because we're kind of living, we know enough to hurt us. We know that God loves us, but it's just so hard for me to let go. And so therefore, Christians are the most frustrated people because they haven't totally surrendered, and yet they know that God wants to bless them, but they are not experiencing it. We need to begin to just release it and live to the glory of God. Begin to make a decision that everything I do is going to be to the glory of God, not the glory of my family, not the glory of my job, not the glory of my husband, but to the glory of God. And there may be some hard decisions, but when you begin to live to the glory of God and you make decisions based on that, what would God be most glorified with? I'm telling you, the outcome is going to be more stability, more perseverance, more fruit. Doesn't mean things are going to be easier. It might be more drought sometimes. Might be more storms, but to the glory of God, we talked about this morning too, it's going to prove that you are rooted in God. Because how do you know how rooted you are? God has to test it. We need to be tested for us ourselves to know how great God is, to His glory. Psalm 52 says, "The righteous shall see and fear, and they shall laugh at him, the sinner, saying, 'See the man who would not make God his refuge, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches. He sought the refuge in his own destruction.'" In other words, the person who lives for the glory of himself, the person who lives for the glory of this world, we're going to end up laughing at him because he's going to be destroyed. But it says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it, and I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly." You see, if you will be the planting of God, where you live for the name of God, I'm going to proclaim the name of God. I'm going to proclaim the presence of God. I'm going to live for the steadfast love of God. Even if it brings me through a valley, even if it takes me through a storm, God's going to be glorified because He is faithful, because He will do it, because His promises are true. If we will be planted, the question is, are you planted in God? Are you putting your roots down? Are you beginning to push through the hard soil of your own heart? When you begin to work at rooting yourself in God, then God becomes glorified. And here's the thing. When God is glorified, you get glorified. Because here's the mystery of the gospel. It's Christ in us. And if Christ is in us, when Christ is lifted up, I receive secondarily the same glory that God puts on Christ. But that means when I live to the glory of God, I will receive that fulfilling, that fruit that comes through Him. So the question is, are you His planting? I want to tell you, God wants to bless you. God wants to give you these blessings. He wants to let you know the assurance that you can have in Him. He wants to give you stability and perseverance. He wants to give you strength, and He wants to give you fruit and harvest, that your life makes a difference. But are you planted in Him? Where are you planted today? Will you be the tree of God that is planted by rivers of living water? Or are you going to be that shrub that's planted in dry places, that's doing its best, that it thinks that it's getting everything it can, and yet it's going to become a tumbleweed that is good to be burned and got rid of? God wants you to be a tree planted by his waters. Will you trust in him? Let's bow our heads today.